Good morning, everyone. My presentation is on sorption of ammonium and nitrate to biochars, looking at mechanisms and impacts of production parameters. So as many of you have no doubt gathered from the previous presentations in this session, a major challenge in biochar research right now is predicting soil-relevant biochar properties, such as water holding capacity, substrate sorption, and alkalinity from feedstock and temperature production parameters so that we can predict biochar impacts on soil. And one way of predicting biochar impacts on soil is using modeling. This is the an overview of the Agricultural Production System Simulator, or APSIM, for modeling biochar impacts. And a very important part of this model is the nitrogen cycle. And in order to accurately model the nitrogen cycle, we have to have accurate inputs for biochar CC, ammonium sorption, nitrate sorption, and pH. But we don't currently have a way of predicting ammonium or nitrate sorption from biochar production parameters. So in order to predict biochar sorption of ammonium and nitrate, we need to understand why those substrates are sorbing to biochars. Two potential mechanisms that have been highlighted in the literature are physical sorption of substrates into biochar pores. So the biochar pores are taking up the soil solution and with it the substrates. Whereas in electrostatic mechanisms, the positively or negatively charged substrates are attracted to oppositely charged surface functional groups, such as carboxylic acids, lactones, lactols, or phenols. So the goals of this study are to quantify biochar's ammonium and nitrate sorption rates, assess impacts of pyrolysis temperature and feedstock on sorption rates, and distinguish between chemical and physical sorption mechanisms. And because this study is currently in progress, today we'll be focusing on the first two goals. So to address these goals, we've prepared six different biochars at three different temperatures from red oak and corn stover feedstocks in a muffle furnace under nitrogen purge for about 2 hours. Then we acid wash the biochars using hydrochloric acid, calcium chloride, and water, and dried them for 72 hours. And these are the resulting dried biochars. So for each of those biochars, we equilibrated them with 25 milliliters of ammonium nitrate solutions for 24 hours. Today we're going to be focusing on 10 ppm solutions, and in the future we're going to look at different concentrations. So at the end of the experiment, at the end of the equilibration, we measured the solution pH and observed that most of the solutions were at pH 3.7. We filtered them to 0.45 micrometers and analyzed the extracts for ammonium and nitrate. Now, at first, we noticed that there was hardly any nitrate sorption at that 3.7 pH. So we ended up adjusting the pH with 0.001 molar calcium hydroxide, hypothesizing that the lack of there was no ammonium sorption. So we hypothesized that nitrate sorption was dominating at pH 3.7 over ammonium sorption because the protons were competing with the ammonium for sorption sites. So we were able to detect ammonium sorption after adding that calcium hydroxide, and we actually observed a very strong effect of the ammonium, of the pH on the ammonium sorption. As pH increased, ammonium sorption to the red oak biochars here increased and sorption rates decreased with increasing pyrolysis temperature. However, we have to interpret these higher pH sorption rates with caution because those higher sorption rates, apparent sorption rates, could actually be due to ammonia volatilization. So removing those higher pH data points, we see that the trend is still quite similar. They're still increasing ammonium sorption with pH and decreasing ammonium sorption with increasing pyrolysis temperature. Similarly, for the corn stover biochars, we had increasing ammonium sorption with increasing pH and decreasing ammonium sorption with increasing pyrolysis temperature. When we remove the higher pH data points, we still have a similar trend, although there's some differences in slope. And moving on to the nitrate sorption, we observe the opposite effect. Here for the red oak biochars, we had decreasing nitrate sorption with increasing pH and increasing nitrate sorption with increasing pyrolysis temperature. And similarly for the corn stover, we had higher nitrate sorption rates for the higher pyrolysis temperature, decreasing sorption rates with increasing pH, and the corn stover 600 biochar data are still in progress. Now, looking at all those data together at the ammonium and nitrate sorption, so the ammonium here in dark blue is increasing with pH, and we see at different pHs, for each biochar, the ammonium in the dark blue and the nitrate in the light blue become the sorption rates become equal at these different pHs. And to help explain that, Chumke Bonick et al. Measured the point of zero net charge for these biochars. It did not appear to correlate in any consistent way with the pH of equal sorption, although within each feedstock, it did increase with increasing point of zero net charge, but then that relationship falls apart when you try to include both feedstocks. So just looking at these data in a slightly different way, we can see that at pH 3.7, ammonium sorption was not detectable, whereas nitrate sorption was, again, increasing with increasing pyrolysis temperature. And then when we look at the ammonium sorption at pH 7, we notice that there is an interaction between feedstock and temperature, wherein the lower temperature red oak biochar has a higher sorption rate than the corn stover 400 over here. This is higher than this one, whereas this one, the corn stover 600, is higher than the corn, than the red oak 600. So the slope of these lines relating sorption to pyrolysis temperature, whoops, the laser valve, is different for the different feedstocks. So to conclude, biochar pyrolysis temperature affects ammonium and nitrate sorption, whereas feedstock has a smaller effect. pH sensitivity would seem to indicate an electrostatic absorption mechanism is likely occurring. However, we cannot eliminate the possibility of multiple sorption mechanisms. So more research is needed to confirm these sorption mechanisms and also to examine whether these ammonium and nitrate sorption patterns are still occurring under laboratory and field conditions. So the bottom line is there's a clear trade-off between ammonium and nitrate sorption. No single biochar had optimum ammonium and nitrate sorption at any given pH. This has broad implications for soil nitrogen cycling, plant growth, and greenhouse gas emissions. We have to choose our biochars wisely for our soils. So just to outline some next steps to help identify sorption mechanisms, we want to look at sorption of ammonium and nitrate with different competing cations and anions, and we want to quantify the effect of multi-product buffering species found in the soil on sorption to see if anion or cation bridging occurs and how that affects sorption. And that brings us to the acknowledgments. I'd like to acknowledge our funding source, the Global Climate Change and Energy Project, and my colleagues in the agronomy department and more. So, any questions? You mean there's what?
So you put on a 10 ppm solution.
Yeah.
But you were recovering about 1 milligram per gram of nitrogen. That's 100-fold enrichment. So my question is this. If you were to start with a higher charge of 100 ppm or 1,000 ppm, would you also get that 100-fold enrichment, or would it start to get saturated? And at what point would it?
So we think it would get saturated, but we haven't finished investigating that. I can show you some preliminary data. So here, this is actually looking at the solution to char ratio at two different initial concentrations. So here, CS10, that's the darker blue, is at 10 ppm, and CS5 is 5 ppm. So, and the solution to char ratio that we used in this study is 250. And we counterintuitively had higher sorption with the corn sorber 500 biochar at a starting 5 ppm solution. And we've tried graphing this the other way, looking at, we don't have that many data points, but just looking at changes between 5, 10, 15 ppm. And they're very inconsistent. We think this is because the pH was varying very slightly due to random error and or the ammonium buffering the solution. So we want to actually establish those curves with the increasing initial ammonium nitrate concentrations with the presence of a buffer to control for that pH. So thank you for the question. I intend to. Thank you. Yes.
Okay, one more last question before the break.
Yeah, have you looked at the surface areas of the different biochars that you used and compared them on a surface area basis to see if you have any other correlations occurring?
That's also in progress. Thank you.
Thank you very much.